Agenda item number 8, Wilmer Hogg, et cetera, et al., another lease application.
So this is an application for playing around from Mr. Wilmer D. Hogg, William C. Melzer, and Donna Melzer together. We always list the first person at all afterwards. He's the first person on the application. The request is to lease approximately 70 acres within the Warwick River, which is in the city of Newport News. And again, this application is within a currently closed for direct harvest of shellfish area, which means, again, that you could relay from this area, but you would need a relay permit to do so. So we did receive this application in July of 2014. It is in the James River. It's depicted again on this aerial view with our oyster ground leases superimposed on it. This is the location of the application. This is the Warwick River. This is the James River here. This is Jail Island. And this is Deep Creek, Menchville area. Again, you see a channel there. That's a federal project channel that we don't lease. And again, the application is located in this area right here, adjacent to the upland. Again, this application was subjected to our normal public interest review, which includes the local newspaper ad once a week for 4 weeks, and we posted the application in the area of the application. In this area of the Warwick River, as you will see, there are numerous existing leases. Virtually the entire Warwick River is leased up or a long ways up the river. But this entire area of the Warwick River, this is a little closer view now. We've zoomed in a little more. Again, this is the application, and this entire area is closed. The direct market. This area is closed for any reason. There is an outfall here that causes this area to be prohibited, but this is well north of that. But as you can see, the closure goes well out the mouth of the Warwick River and goes down the southern shoreline of the James River. But the entire Warwick River all the way to the headwaters is restricted for the direct market of shellfish. Again, as the commission policy was, regulation was changed back in March, we don't accept new applications in these areas, but this application was received before that stipulation. And again, we're bringing these cases to the commission on a case-by-case basis to determine whether or not they should be leased. On this particular application, the applicant indicated on the use plan questionnaire that the bottom would be used for traditional shelling or to cultivate existing shellfish resources. They also indicated that the lease would be used for planting of spat or seed oysters on the bottom. However, with the lack of a readily available shell stock and seed oysters, we again question whether any reasonable business plan would include planting of shell or seed within such restricted waters. None of the co-applicants have leases in non-restricted waters immediately adjacent to this restricted water application. But they do have other grounds in the James River that are in clean waters that are some distance away. So in theory, they could relay to those. Again, in light of recent commission action concerning the acceptance of new applications within such restricted waters and the rationale for that, we do at staff level have reservations about recommending leasing in these areas for the same reason that that policy was adopted not to accept new applications. Again, while we would survey these normally before bringing them to the commission, in this instance, if the commission deemed these areas are not suitable for leasing, we're trying to save some taxpayer money by not doing the survey. And should you deem this area is leasable or should be, the application process should move forward, we would, of course, conduct a survey. And again, if there were issues from the survey itself, we would attempt to address those. And if they weren't addressable, they would come back to the commission. Again, we don't believe that that would happen, but it could. So this one's pretty straightforward. There are no other anomalies here like federal base, although the base is over across the river on the other side there, Jail Point. There's no federal project channel impacts here. So this is just basically an application that is entirely within an area classified as restricted by the health department. So in summary and recommendation, while we understand that the applicant did apply before the recent commission decision to no longer accept applications in restricted waters for direct market shellfish, we do believe it is not in the best interest of the Commonwealth to pursue leasing this area, and we do recommend denial of the entire application. Should the commission deem it is in the best interest of the Commonwealth to lease the area, we will, of course, continue surveying the application, and provided there's no protest, we would administratively assign the lease. If we do receive a protest, we would attempt to address it. If it's not resolvable, it would be brought back before the commission. That I'd be happy to answer any questions on this lease application.
Any questions from the commission?
I have one.
Mr. Close.
Yep. The other adjacent leases, are they condemned bottom too? Or
yes. Every lease you see here, except the far left out in the James River, they're all in either restricted or condemned, where it's double hatched down at the end there. That you can't those people couldn't use those leases at all right now. They're old. Those leases have been there a long time. And this is an area that had been leased. Most of this area had been leased before this application. Virtually all the Warwick River had been leased in the past, but this lease went back for probably non-payment of rent, or the person just gave it up.
Mr. Erskine.
Just to be clear, the double hash area is prohibited, meaning you can't do any cultivation in those areas. What we're talking about is restricted, where you would have the ability to relay.
Yep.
Okay. And can I ask a poll?
Yep, Mr. Erskine.
How long has this area been closed? Maybe that's a question for Mr. Skiles.
Mr. Skiles may have that information.
Mr. Ballard.
One question for Mr. Stagg first. Since this application was put in before we made the decision not to lease these areas, have you given any thought to application fees, advertising fees that the applicants may have incurred?
So our policy is there's a $25 application fee, and that's clearly stated on the application. It's not refundable. So we virtually never refund that $25. We have had cases where we've had applications for various reasons, not necessarily this reason because it's kind of a new policy, where we could not move forward and the ad had run, and if the commission deems it acceptable, we have refunded. They pay the money directly to the newspaper, but we have refunded people's advertising costs for applications, and so yes, we did consider that as a possibility. We didn't put it in our eval, but we have no objection to that should the commission deem that would be proper.
Do you know what those costs were?
It varies considerably depending on what newspaper it's in. And this one, I don't think, they sent us a verification that the ad ran, but we don't really get to see the invoice part, so we don't know what it costs lots of times. But in the Daily Press, it's pretty expensive. The previous one ran in the Gazette Journal up in James City County, and I think that one was only $210. But my guess is this one was $300 to $400 probably. They're pretty expensive in the Daily Press. $1,000? Maybe it's, I mean, they've gone up a lot. The Daily Press is the most expensive paper we use, but it's the only paper in Newport News that meets the requirements of the code. So, but yes, we have refunded on specific cases, and the state pays it. The state refunds it back to the applicant to reimburse them for the cost of the applicant. That's the only fees that these people have paid, for the $25 and the surveying fee, I mean the notice fee. All the other fees are due at the end.
Any other questions to Mr. Stagg? Mr. Skiles, could you answer Mr. Ballard's question? How long has this been condemned and the reasons it's been condemned and the health ramifications if this stuff went to market?
Okay. This area, or this condemnation, was originally in place in 1942, and it had been amended a number of times. This particular section was open for a brief period in the early 80s, and it's been closed continuously since 1985. It's the buffer zone right now for the sewage treatment plant outfall. So, like the other area, the closure, the risks are all associated with sewage-borne pathogens. In this particular case, that based on our current criteria, it wouldn't be eligible. You know, we're required to follow the National Shellfish Program guidelines for how we assess sewage treatment plant outfalls in order to ship interstate. So when we apply those guidelines to this area, it has to be closed as long as the outfall is there. So.
Questions, Mr. Scott? Mr. Erskine?
What would be the, should there be, for example, norovirus, which you mentioned before, what would be the impact on the industry should there be an outbreak or an issue, an illness?
Well, I think for everyone who's seen the news of those sorts of things that happen in other states, it's devastating both for public health and to the industry. It causes a lot of people to stop buying shellfish because they're not confident. So I think you know, certainly there's a public health cost that we would pay, but there's a tremendous impact to the industry that are in Virginia that would suffer from just the press of that sort of thing.
Has the FDA issued, to your knowledge here, any sort of guidance on what would happen in the event of an outbreak?
Well, sure. Areas would be closed. This one is already closed. If there were an outbreak from an area where we allowed relay from, it would call into question our classification of the area and our allowance of that. So FDA would question our management of the program. So it would probably put us into a category of what they call an unresolved issue, which would, at the national level, put us before a board defending why our state should continue to ship interstate.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Scott.
I have a question.
You're the applicant?
Yes, sir.
I was going to call you up here now so that you could testify. Please come forward, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Donna Melzer again. The portion in the hashtag is the portion you're talking about, though, that is condemned and not able to be relayed.
That's the part that relay is not allowed.
But the relay portion is still able to be relayed. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And anybody in the state of Virginia owns a piece of ground that is relayable, you are the sole responsible party to open and close the relay, correct? The health department.
With regard to the public health reasons for closing.
Correct.
Yeah, we would be the ones. For
okay.
Yeah.
So if that were not an area that could be relayed, you would have closed it.
Well, it is closed.
It's relayable.
It is relayable.
Correct.
It's terminology.
Under the laws. Somebody can utilize this ground and move these oysters and be safe in doing so if they do it under the law as prescribed by the law.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Do you have additional testimony you want to offer to the commission?
Yes, sir. I do. I do want it to be noted that 28.2806, that the state health commissioner is to establish the standards for the relay of an oyster. You are not responsible for that. Your responsibility as the commission is to monitor the oysters and relay them, as I said once again, that the polluted oysters are a resource. They're not something to be messed with. Do you realize how many oysters out here are in the polluted area? Can you tell me?
I never counted them, ma'am.
You're responsible for them. Why not? I'm sorry to be rude, but the fact of the matter is there is a large percentage, 4% go to sales every year in the state of Virginia of the seafood. 4%, that's a large amount of your seafood. That's a resource that you don't want to lose. You say that we're unresponsible as watermen because we want to move them, but we have to take the resource that we have and manage it properly or we'll lose it. That's your job, and I hold you to that job. The oysters that are in these areas that are polluted currently are large oysters that are ready to go to market if moved properly. I've never been given a ticket for an oyster. I can honestly say that I am held to a higher standard than anybody else. If I get a ticket, you can take my license for 1 year. I cannot work. Or 2 years. Do any of you hold yourselves to that standard? No, sir, you don't. I buy a license, and I can lose my job for 2 years. I'm only holding you to realize that these oysters are taken by people off the shorelines, they're taken by people in boats, and they're eaten, and nobody says anything. You guys try to catch them, but you can't. If an area that's polluted is retaken, if I go into an area, particular area in progress is Mill Creek. If I go into Mill Creek and I take those oysters, they're as big as your foot, they're ready to go. I leave them for 30 days, they're a bivalve. They will clean themselves out after 30 days. It's actually 15 that they clean themselves out because they're a bivalve. They open and they close every 8 hours and cleanse. That's what their job is in our ecosystem, is to clean the system. Left alone, they will continue to grow, and they will grow out of the water, at which point they will cause more bacteria in the water, which can cause more harm than good. These are a resource that if they're moved and relayed, when they're moved, if you move them at a tide, the tide will come in and come out, take the silt and disperse it in a low percentage in order to cleanse that area, and you might save these oysters and that area, and it can be utilized again later down the road. If you shut them down and you quit allowing them to be worked, this is a resource we could lose for life. And I understand that coming before this commission today is how and when we're going to pay for this resource to be moved. And you don't want to open these, but I applied for this in July. In August, it was 60 days. It should have been sent to a surveyor. In September, it should have been already done and completed, and I should have had these grounds. But they come before you because they were held up. They were held up because everybody knew that they had an agenda coming down the road, and they didn't want me to have these grounds because they didn't want to have to put up and tolerate relay. I'm willing to do the relay. I'm take the chance that when I move these oysters and wait 30 days, they're all going to die. I don't know if you know what it's like to be out there and be oystering every day. It's not easy. It's hard work. And if you take that hard work and you go out there and then they all just die on you, you're at a total loss of devastation. All you have left is what? Shell. Well, shell also will reproduce itself. It might take 3 years, but I'll still have a resource. If you close and condemn these, I have no resources. And you might as well just tell the watermen that you don't care about the heritage, you don't care about the resources, and you're not going to do your job. Your job is to utilize every resource you have. These are still a resource that's viable. I ask you to take and vote for me to have these grounds. Thank you.
Mr. Erskine.
Ma'am?
Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
This application, I think, is 70 acres.
Yes, sir.
Do you or the co-applicants that you represent today lease, have any other lease ground in the Commonwealth? And how much would that be in open area and restricted area?
We work with Ballard Oyster Company. We also work with, Evans. We also work with Jennings Burton. He owns, I believe, right at 2,000 acres of oyster ground. William Melzer, which is my husband, he has open ground. We have a lot of polluted already, and we also have a lot of open. I cannot tell you at this very moment how much. I know that it's close to 1,000 that I have.
And
Mr. Erskine.
So that are open, that are non-polluted, and you also have ground that is currently restricted that you conduct relay from?
Correct.
Okay.
And I have relayed this year, if you're wondering. We have relayed this year.
Okay.
Mr. Erskine.
And just as a final follow-up, this 70 acres then is critical to your production, or could you conduct this maybe in the other 1,000 acres that you have open?
This area has very good oysters and genetically sound oysters that we want to move to hopefully cause their spat to go in areas that are not so productive and see if they can genetically be improved. So, yes, sir, it is important to me.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions from the commission? Thank you, ma'am. Is there anyone else in the audience here who wishes to testify either in favor or opposed to this application? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission. Mr. Cedrin.
I think that if the commission, and it has determined that there's a substantial health risk to these areas, that's why we're not taking any more new applications. In my view, it didn't make any difference when the application was put in for the commission. If we have determined that there is a substantial health risk and a detriment to the people of the Commonwealth of Virginia to do this, it don't make any difference when the application was. Because of technologies, working with these other agencies, we now have the information to protect the people. And I think it's our job to protect the people, not to grant a lease where we know and have taken a position that that's not in the best interest of the public. The health department here, this is a area where you got a sewage area. And I think the word that the man from the health department said, this would be devastating. And it would be devastating to ladies like this. I mean, if she couldn't sell her good oysters because of contamination from somewhere like that, she wouldn't have a job forever, not a year or 2 years. And so our position, at least from my view, is that we got to look at everybody's interest, and that means the oyster people as well, because if they can't sell their oysters, they can have tons of oysters, and they're not going to get any money, and they're not going to have any job. But more important than that, to me, this is a public health issue, and if I knew that the oysters came out of that place, I would never buy an oyster there. And I think that's the same thing with everybody, and if it goes out of state and then our oysters are contaminated, then there is going to be no oyster industry in Virginia. That's my position.
Other comments? Well, I'll make a couple comments here. I think that our mission is to protect the oyster industry and to wisely manage our resources. And I also have great concerns over the continued relaying of oysters in a large scale here from these restricted areas here. In addition to the rest of the industry and the human health here, there's the added issue, which is the manpower that needs to be spent by the Marine Police here to adequately supervise to make sure that every I is dotted, the T's are crossed, and these are relayed absolutely as required. This is a difficult manpower issue here, and the Marine Police are already strained to meet the relaying duties that they have in addition to all the other things here. We're reluctant to expand relaying for these types of applications. That's my two cents. Mr. Ballard.
I agree with everyone's thoughts so far. I would like to re-raise the issue of refunding their fees, though, that they've paid as they put this application in good faith, and our ruling had not been made yet. And I would make a motion that we accept staff recommendation with the addition that they be refunded all fees but the application fee that they've paid.
I'd second that.
Motion and a second. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye. Motion passes unanimously.